A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. Death came through one man, and in the same way, the resurrection of the dead has come through one man. Just as all die in Adam, so will all be brought to life in Christ, but all of them in their proper order. Christ as the first fruits, and then, after the coming of Christ, those who belong to him. After that will come the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, having done away with every sovereignty, authority, and power. For he must be king until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last of the enemies to be destroyed is death. For everything is to be put under his feet. Henry Flanagan was a Dominican, and so he preached. I remember his voice, but only those who knew him do recall his accent, the tone of his voice, and the musicality of his sermons. Never fear, though, if you did not know him. He died nearly 20 years ago now, Lord rest him. He has left sermons, homilies, essays that are more lasting. I mean his statues, for he could work magnificently in stone, the wood carvings etched out, as it were, from the loving heart of a disciple, and lots besides, including musical compositions. But it is a wooden set of the Mysteries of the Rosary, done by Henry Flanagan, I would like to speak of for a moment with today's solemn feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in mind. For those of you near at hand, you can go and see them in the Dominican Church in Dominic Street in Dublin. This faith-filled artist tried to imagine the scenes in the case of each of these Mysteries of the Rosary, and he did not flinch, even when it came to the extraordinary tale, the astonishing idea of the Assumption of Mary. He followed the ancient example of the Byzantine Christian artists who show Mary laid out on her deathbed, surrounded by the apostles of Jesus. These perform the Christian liturgical rites for the dead. Mary must have been close to 60 when she died, and there she is laid out, a saint without compare. Behind the figures of Mary on her deathbed and the apostles standing by her side is the figure of Christ, her beloved Son, glorified. And in the Byzantine tradition, Christ holds in his hands a small figure, almost like a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Yes, the roles are reversed from Bethlehem. How mysterious and wonderful the image! Mary, for a start, had to pass, like her son, and all men and women, had to pass through the gates of death. There is no other way to life everlasting than that our life on earth have its own human conclusion, peaceful or violent. The new life is understood as a rebirth, and it is Christ who is, as it were, the one who brings us to life. And brings his mother there to start with, a first fruits of his own death and resurrection. Where she has gone before us, we are now called to follow. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he means it, and the following will mean we take the road he took, and then know the magnificence of the new life of resurrection. Mary, like all sisters and brothers who are Christian disciples, pays homage to the Lord. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit exults in God my Saviour." Her Son is her Saviour. Her Son brings her to everlasting life, as she had brought him to human birth. The origin of the feast goes back basically to the mid-5th century, when the Emperor Marcian and his wife Pulcheria, while celebrating the great Christian Council of Chalcedon, let's say like Vatican II but on a smaller scale, asked the Bishop of Jerusalem for the remains of the Virgin Mary, to take most likely to Constantinople as a prize trophy, as it were, to attract more worshippers to the basilica there. Emperors made these kinds of requests, you understand. When her tomb was opened, the Bishop of Jerusalem told them it was found to be empty. Furthermore, mind you, even in the heyday of medieval relics of saints, there never has been any plausible claim made by anyone to have relics of Our Lady or any part of her body. That's just the history of the thing. For us disciples listening online, or perhaps you are not a disciple as yet but wish to learn a little about what today's feast means, welcome. Glad you tuned in. What matters is that where Mary has been led by her glorified Son, the risen Jesus of Nazareth, we are all called to follow. That is the logical consequence of our baptism and our Christian heritage, the logical consequence, let us say, of the divine grace. If we remain true to the Lord and seek his face in the faces and lives of our neighbour, if we love our neighbour as we love ourselves, and acknowledge the sacred banquet in which we're invited to participate, if I were to ask you why you tuned in, you might say, you wish today, in some way, to worship the Lord. That's what the Magi said on another occasion, when they found the infant Jesus, the Son of Mary, whom we honour today. Yes, with Mary we worship the Lord. Whatever we do and say, in Mary's company indeed, we do well, by the grace that purified her, and offers us that same stupendous gift.